How's it going, everyone? Welcome back to Down the Rabbit Hole. It is Brad and Chibi today joining me. Jack is currently on a flight somewhere. Nobody knows, but Brad has something to say
likely
about that, don't you, Brad?
Story.
Yeah. Like
got a
story.
Bone to pick with him, and that bone is a firing.
It's a firing. Done. Okay. Today we're going to talk about... He's not going to fire me. Today we're going to talk about probably one of my favorite anime of the year, and that is Delicious in Dungeon, also known as Dungeon Meshi. This is, I think, probably one of the most anticipated for a lot of fans of the manga. It's very highly rated. It is out on Netflix. You can also watch it in other places that I will not name here so I don't get, you know, somehow get caught up in some random algorithm if this hits off. But
I was going to say I found it somewhere else, but also cannot disclose where.
But I like to think that they've done a great job adapting mm-hmm. this. I think this is fantastic. It is probably one of my favorite anime that I've watched in regard to world building. Like, it's actually insane how detailed this anime is. So I'm gonna start with Brad because I want like his overall take on it, because, you know, Brad actually watched every episode, which is shocking.
For so once.
Thank you, Brad.
At double speed.
Oh, you know actually, what? He still watched it.
They were saying something. I still know what they're talking about. Brad, how did you feel about Delicious in Dungeon?
It was delicious.
All right. Moving on.
It was good and succulent.
So, can you not say it?
Now he's using big words.
Succulent is not a big word in the slightest. Like, if you say that.
For Brad, it is, bro. For Brad, it is.
No, Brad is a massive nerd. Don't say that.
I'm joking. I know he's smart.
No. Well, hold on. Don't say that.
Oh, my God. Apparently, I can't say anything. So, go ahead, Brad.
I am a nerd, but I'm not smart. Got it. All right. Is there anything else I should know about myself?
Is there anything else I'm not allowed to say?
Have you guys ever played or done anything with Brad? Like, he comes off as the smartest dumb person you've ever met. He's Lios.
Like every smart.
He's
person.
Literally Lios from Delicious and
Dungeon. I am tall man.
He is tall man.
No. It was good. I like the not so serious tone. Mm-hmm. That's my shtick. I like the goofiness. You know, the comedic factor of pretty much everyone has their kind of moment to do something goofy or funny, but
right.
There's also some serious moments that, you know, hit you in the feels, especially with the frogs, you know,
because I'm a that was frog brutal
sympathizer.
That was a brutal scene.
But yeah, no, it was good. I liked it. I enjoyed it. I will probably watch the rest of the episodes eventually one day.
This man pulled a Mashal, right? Watched a couple episodes, was like, this is my jam, and watched the rest of it. I think it's good fantasy, though.
I agree.
No, Chibi, go ahead and go. What about you? How did you feel about it so far?
I would agree. I liked the lightheartedness. Like, Brad, I feel like we have similar, like, vibes with the... We like the kind of the goofier anime. I will say I got a little bored, I think, in the middle. Mm-hmm. It just kind of felt like... very repeated, he said. I don't know, I noticed myself zoning out a lot, but towards the end I think it picked up a lot more for me and I really enjoyed it.
That's probably one of the things that like a lot of people have asked, by the way, about why, you know, it's not more highly rated on like all the other lists. It's because the very beginning of it, and this happened in the manga too, is that it's very deliberate and like trying to kind of isolate characters and world build mm-hmm. with like the different characters. So like you get to meet like Cabral and his team. They're the group that mm-hmm. died twice, pretty much.
Yeah,
like they're actually very important characters throughout the entirety of the story.
Mm. I mean, Spoiler. I figured since they introduced them like a couple times,
but like, I mean, you get introduced to like so many. But what's great is that they actually build up like one the fantasy world, like the actual world itself, how certain aspects of the world work, the importance of like the dungeon's ecosystem, and then like how the dungeon actually came to be. And there's all these different discussions that occur during the anime, which I think are really good, especially like when they talk about like, hey, you can die. It's completely fine. Like your body is just,
I know,
your soul
is
just
so
attached.
I was like, huh? You can just die casually?
So the way they explain that, I actually thought it was going to be like a video game type thing.
Yeah.
It was like you die and you respawn, or they, you know, come pick you up and, you know, but because I was confused because I was waiting for them to like, be like, okay, see you tomorrow. And then like, you know, log off or something, but it never happened. Okay, whew. So apparently this is just how it works.
I'll go save my sister some other fucking time. I think that's the one thing that like people have kind of like, you know, because Studio Trigger usually doesn't take many anime that don't get really serious in the end. I think they did Gurren Lagann, which was like lighthearted at first and then got very dark.
Oh yeah.
And then they did Cyberpunk Edgerunners, which was like light and like same light thing, and they got really heavy. And then with this one, it's like the moment we start getting into the world and we start understanding, like, and then you start seeing like animals getting killed and you're like creatures getting killed and then characters getting killed. And you're like, what the fuck? Why is this so violent?
It's like in a very comedic way, but it's like, you're like, wait a minute. Why is this so violent? Like you said,
when Namara gets headshotted, you know, by the fucking,
oh my God, I gasped. I was
I was like, serves her right. That's all.
Yeah, so, should have been roaming around with that gnome. You know what I mean? But yeah, no, it does a really good job of like continuously world being like, what I was telling Brad before, I was like, dude, one of the coolest things I saw was like when the dragon was like clicking its tongue to ignite the fire and stuff like that. I was like, that's awesome. And then also you had like the different spells that were being cast, like help each other out and, you know, save each other. I was like, I really like the fact that quick healing in this, if you're trying to repair some damage, it actually is very painful. And that kind of makes sense because whenever you watch like an anime or manga when they're healing, it's like, well, I mean, you should be able to feel that, right? Unless it's like some refreshing type of sound. Yeah, it should be refreshing. And instead you get that really cool scene with Senshi and Marcel. she's like, I'm not really good at healing long term, but I can do really quickly. and all the sweat drops have his face. Yeah.
It was a sound.
Brutal.
And, like, you see his leg get attached again.
Oh, yeah.
And, like,
well, that's what I was saying.
I like how it also left a scar too.
Oh yeah. Well, that's what I was saying is like there's, you know, it's shockingly violent at times and gruesome. And I was like, that's good fantasy though.
Mm-hmm.
Because they do a good job of like constantly having Senshi tell you all these different things about the dungeon, how you're supposed to fight, right? Or how you're supposed to like, you know, kill an animal. I think my favorite thing was like him and the Kelpie, and like Lyos is like straight up the most like, why is everyone not suspicious of mammals? I don't get it. And then the Kelpie tried to drown him anyway. I was like, holy shit, man. Was there, so Chibi, just before we got on, your standout episode, I'm assuming was 11, the most recent one, which I said was fantastic and probably the real jumping off point for the series, because I will say this to people, there's only like 97 chapters of the manga and they range in size. So some are like 35 pages, some are like 15, but like the thing about, like, once we got to this point in the manga, that's when everything just starts to fucking go. Like, it goes very quickly. So what are your thoughts on episode 11, which is the most recent one as of this recording?
Yeah, as of this recording, it really took me for a shock. So everyone expects her to be dead. Like, no one expects her to be alive. But the thing is, like, you know,
I did.
We're talking about Fallon, by the way.
We're talking about Fallon. I'm talking about Lyos' sister. Yeah. Well, how many days has it been? Like, time wise, like,
it's been a couple weeks.
It's been weeks. Okay, it is a big ass dragon, and they even specified, like, you know, maybe normally it doesn't digest fast, right? But you know, there's a lot of different factors at play. It could have been moving a lot. It could have been doing all of these different things. So there was no concrete answer. It's because I was reading a lot of the comments and people were like, how do they expect her to be alive? And it's like, no one expected her to be alive, but kind of with, you know, the soul being attached to the body, right? That was kind of how the premise was. You can like revive them if they're mostly there, to my understanding, right?
Yeah,
if they're like, so as long as she wasn't completely like decomposed or like, you know, there wasn't a lot of parts missing, like they could still bring her back alive. And that was the hope. So when they're going through it, they can't find her at first. I'm like, shit, like, did she escape? Like, what happened? You know? And then he, you know, has this genius idea to look, and I don't even know what fucking organ it was.
I think it's like where they store
the words.
It's like a reservoir.
Yeah, it's like where they store. It's like that little sack that the dragons like store their fuel and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Which I think is another great thing that they don't really showcase in a lot of fantasy stuff. Yeah. Feel a little fuel pouch for Brad. That's why Brad is like, he's like, let me tell you something about this. Let me dragons me generally.
Very common that dragons speaking. Have a fuel pouch.
Fuel pouch. But yeah, I was like, you know, and they start sorting through it. And I'm like, oh man. And then when they find her staff. her staff, and then he looks at her skull, and he's just holding it, and I just, and like, then, oh,
and
man.
Then it immediately goes into happy music. We're like, yeah.
My heart just stopped. I was, I like, thought he was gonna kiss
it. He's gonna kiss his sister's like bloody skull.
Why are you like this?
Why is he like this? That's because that's how Brad plays D&D. That's how he plays Baldur's Gate 3.
Just kisses the forehead. No, but I mean, there was a foreshadowing because, you know, in the prior scene, she's like, don't worry about me.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I mean, that whole scene leading up to it was like, that's fantastic animation.
It was very good.
I like how they knew they were fucked too. Like, Chuck's like, I guess we're just here now. It's where we live, underneath the dragon's crotch. Like, it's over for us. Stuff like that.
Yeah.
And then,
but Ken's, it definitely then, took a darker turn than I thought it was.
Oh yeah, it's a weird thing because, like, it's there's a show called Dohidoro, and it's pretty graphic because, like, one of the main characters has like a lizard head. He has a reptile head, and he bites people's heads off to kind of like, he's trying to figure out like who he is. And he bites people's heads off and like absorbs their memories and stuff like that, and consumes their brain and stuff. Very dark, right? But it's also incredibly funny and lighthearted at times. And like, this is kind of the inverse, where you're watching a you know, what seems like a really fun, like, oh, everyone's cooking, that's great, and then you're seeing like them like chop animals. You're like, oh shit, this is a little darker than I thought.
Yeah.
Like when they killed the frog, like that. Damn, I was like, oh my god. I thought it was hilarious when they literally convinced Marcel, and this is why, like, she's my favorite characters.
All they had to say was,
look, you look really cute in it.
You look really cute in it. And she's like, and then it cuts to all of them in the suit.
In a frog suit.
She's like, why can't I take this off?
Blood. And you know, Lios would not like, he's not really detail oriented when he's doing stuff. Mm-hmm. So it was really funny when he's like, yeah, so like the blood dried up. I have to fight the red dragon like this.
I love how she was like, we have to fight him like this, and he's like,
I just thought that whole episode was great because I wanted to see, like that one. I knew that like Brad would have a good reaction to it because he just immediately messaged me. He's like, it's dark, what the fuck. I was like, it's great, right? You got to see, like, also the dub in this, by the way, is great, right? I think the sub and dub are great. Like, his name's ProZD, Sung Won Chao. He's like, he's a YouTuber voice actor. It's fantastic. Voices Senshi. He fucking crushes it in that scene where he's like trying to grab Laos's sword, Kensuke, and launches it.
Oh my god, his sword, bro.
I like that. Dude, straight, honestly, Laos kind of deserves that shit for being obsessed with monsters and thinking that the monster wouldn't try to save itself. And I'm like, well, what do you want me to do, bro?
Like, it's still a monster at the end of the day.
And I love how Chilchek got up and started cursing him out in, like, other languages and stuff.
Yeah, there's no amount of words, like, and foul words.
And Lios's face is like, please don't yell at me in other languages, Chilchek. I don't understand. I'm like, dude, what the fuck?
That was good. I did like that scene.
Yeah, it's just, it was like, it's so well done in terms of, like, humor, horror, action, you know. I don't think many people expected when Lios got launched to fucking like trap his leg within the dragon's mouth.
Dude, I definitely gasped at that too.
I honestly thought he was just gonna get swallowed.
And right, like, exactly. That's what I thought too. He's gonna stab in the inside. Yeah. He's like, this ain't shit. Stabs his leg, and I was like, oh god. And then hangs there and stabs the throat. I was like, and by the way, I've noticed that like a lot of like fancy stuff. Like, that's usually where, like, the dragon's weakest. There's like always one random scale. One spot. It's like the weirdest inverted thing.
Scale.
Yeah, one inverted scale. Calm down, Brad. All right, my bad, dude.
Scientifically speaking, it's an
you don't understand, bro.
According to the anatomy of an adult red dragon.
Has one inverted scale.
That's what I love about Lios. Like, he's so enthusiastic about all this stuff, except for like the living armor. It's like, can we eat it? Like, no. Even since he's like, what's wrong with you, man?
Technically you could. I liked the episode a lot though. I thought it was funny.
No, it's fantastic. Like, I liked every episode. You know, and I do admit, like, it was, the pacing does draw down.
Like, but I get why.
And then immediately ramps up. I mean, like,
and then I just,
every character, and like, everything, the thing is, like, you kind of have to, I'm not saying, like, it's probably best that you wait to binge at times, because, like, this is going to be a 24 episode season. I think that was confirmed, because there's like characters you see early on that will make an appearance later, and things will start to make sense about, you know, certain questions you have about the dungeon. You know, why its existence, you know, some of the things that like happen there that are kind of weird, right? Like the way the monsters react and stuff like that. Yeah, you'll learn a lot. It's really well done. That's why it's rated so highly. But I was, you know, when people were like, oh, why is this, you know, not rated as highly? I'm like, well, probably because it's slower than others, you know? And like, so, like you said, Chibi, there's like parts of it where it's like, we're just kind of building characters.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're trying to get to learn about Lyos, Chilchuck, Marcille, Senshi. And then, you know, it the pace quickens in terms of like plot development, but it also still like tries to, you know, throw in certain quirks. And there's a lot of callbacks too, which I think are great that they consistently do. So I wonder where the anime is going to stop, honestly, which is interesting.
Especially because you've read it. So you kind of know.
Yeah.
What's happening next.
Yeah. Definitely. Brad, who is your favorite character, man?
Chilchuck, just because he has a phobia of mimics.
That was so a good episode.
Do you have a phobia of mimics?
Wait, do you really? You scared of them?
It's horrible. No, I think Senshi is my favorite, just because he has a very luscious beard.
Especially when he gets it cleaned, he just puffs out and stuff like that. And he's like, the soap is getting in my eyes; it's burning.
And I do like his dedication to finding rare metal and making it into a cooking utensil.
Dude, oh my. Adamantite and mithril. That was fucking funny as shit. What is this? Adamantite? It's like, it's good for crushing bones of dragons or something like that.
He's like, yeah. He's like, well, it was a shield and it was useless to me.
So I made into a pot.
I'm into a pot.
Makes fucking sense, my guy. I love the fact, like, especially when like he brought up the mithril knife and he's like, I always take care of it. And I'm like, dude, what? I was like, why would you, what do you need that for when you're going to eventually, you know, I'm assuming they're going to eat the dragon, right? I mean, we can all guess. They're going to have to eat that damn thing.
It was funny. He was like, Lyos was like, yeah, if you would have shown that to Namari, she would have definitely killed you for it.
He's like, that's why I didn't. That's why I didn't. Yeah, no, I like it. I think like Senshi is probably, I mean, he's actually kind of a mysterious character too, right? Like you just randomly show up. Just like some random
with all this knowledge, like
you've like lived off the land essentially in the dungeon, which is crazy to me. Like
he is the mad mage.
He is the he practically is, dude. Like him taking the golems and stuff, like that, and then
that shit was crazy. Yeah,
and using them for like fucking was it for like his fresh food and stuff like that, his vegetables and stuff like that. I was like, dude,
literally plants them.
Yeah. Like you're so like, and everyone else thinks he's crazy. Marcel and Chilchuck are like, what the hell? But Laos is like, that's such dedication. that's so amazing.
He's like, same brain cell. He's like, I understand.
I get why you're doing this. Except for, you know, the time he was like, oh, can we eat leather? He's like, have you eaten leather before? No. What's wrong?
He's like, what kind of question is that?
Dude, it's so funny. Chibi, who's your favorite?
I would say either Senshi, and I'm not going to lie, Marcel girl grew a lot on me. At first, I thought she was so annoying, but I like her quirky, like, personality, and she's just, like, the one that, like, said, no, that's not going to work, and then
goes along with it.
You know, it just works. Like, I don't know. Yep. Like, the frog scene solidified it for me. It fucking solidified it.
The mandrake.
The mandrake made me so mad, but after that I started liking her.
I mean, yeah, that's right. I mean, it's weird because she's like the only elf, right? I think, and generally elves in any type of like fancy setting are usually like non-emotional, right?
She's like, and she's the complete opposite.
She like hated eating monsters and then she was completely fine with it, and she's obviously,
she knew,
like,
it tasted good,
pretty talented, you know, with some of her magic. But she's reckless as hell too with some of the stuff she does. So I think Marcel's fine. I just like Chilchuck.
Why do you not like her, Brad, huh? Sorry, he was shaking his head at me.
Oh, because she's a brat.
Haters gonna hate, bro.
I mean, people will, I mean, literally, yeah. if you see how like any of the forums about, you know, Dungeon Meshi, a lot of people like didn't vibe with her during the anime, but like with the manga, people like gradually understood her and stuff like that.
I think that's kind of where I came with. Maybe like, one day. I think as it progressed, I was like, okay, like, I get it now.
Well, I mean, it's crazy too, because like, you have to ask yourself, like, how Laios has survived this long. And I assume it's because of Fallon. Like, it has to be. Like, I like Laios, but he's a fucking psychopath. Like, yeah, that man is insane. And like, he's also like, I know that, who said that, like, was it Amari that said, like, you know, tall men aren't really that strong, even like, you know, I mean, that's dwarves are way stronger than humans, but it was like, I was like, well, Laios was pretty fucking strong when he caught like Marcil from that like one platform in episode 11, when he was like hanging off the edge and shit. I was like, dear God, dude. I mean, he's selfless. He's also dumb and gets into a ton of trouble by doing a bunch of weird shit. I just like how enthusiastic he is about everything, right?
Yeah.
When Senshi comes up with like a really cool idea to you know, fend off ghosts and stuff like that, taking holy water, attaching it to a rope, and just swinging it around. I also like how whimsical that looked, by the way, when he was like, so he's like, yeah. And then he's like, I want to do that too. I was like, what the fuck is wrong with this dude, man?
Yeah. Especially like with the knowledge that his sister has been eaten too. Well, like how he tries to keep
every flashback of Fallon also kind of gives kind of an idea like how they're kind of the same person. Like they're both very aloof. Like I don't think
Fallon's like an airhead, bro.
Yeah, they would have not have survived if they weren't together, in my opinion. Like they would have gotten killed if they weren't together, because you could tell like the dude is just like a complete dunce at times. He has no social skills. Right? He's constantly positive. He wants to be everyone's best friend. Like when they were talking about like when the group broke up, and you know, they were asking Namari, like, hey, have you seen Shuro? He's a samurai. And they're like, have you seen Shuro? He's like, nah, but I'm surprised he kind of left, because you know, he was in love with Fallon. And he's like, what? He's in love with Fallon? He's like, yeah, dude, how do you not know? You're next to us the entire time. He's like, oh yeah. Like they didn't know how old Chilchuck was, right?
Dude, that was funny. He was like, how do you say? He was like, I'm 29. And they were like, baby.
And that's kind of weird, too, because like what elves are usually, you know, a couple hundred years old. Dwarves.
Barely.
Dwarves lived a couple hundred years too, right, Brett, I think.
She's half elf, by the way.
She's half elf?
Yeah.
You're on the wiki?
I am on the wiki.
I knew it. Don't get on the
wiki. Making sure I have the names.
You're gonna spoil that stuff, brother.
Well, I've already spoiled it for myself. I'm going to ask you after the episode.
I actually like the beginning where he's narrating the dragon fight.
Oh, I'm so hungry.
Like, he's like, if only we had one more ration of food, maybe this fight would have went a different way.
Here's the thing. He was right. Because when they fought the dragon, they were fucking well fed and they were able to like, you know, actually commit to their plan.
Have the energy.
Only lose a limb.
Yeah. Only lose his leg.
And not their life.
Having Chilchuck get his fucking, or having, was it Senshi get stomped on by the dragon, and having Chilchuck get hit by falling debris. You know, it's a win, bro.
Man had a fucking head concussion.
Oh,
speaking of hungry, the whole time I was watching the show made me fucking hungry.
Made you hungry to eat? Eat the kelpie.
No, it just made me want to eat anything. I was like, dang, this looks good.
Dude,
I'm
once
hungry.
Again, I think that like Japanese artists, like in anime, dude, they make some fucking good looking food. It is ridiculous.
Also, half the time, it didn't look that great.
What? It did look good.
It looked too colorful.
Too colorful. Like, I mean, they were killing certain creatures, you know.
Well, the like jewelry bugs.
Oh, dude, no, never.
No, that was like the only one.
Here's my question, Brad. Like, if you were in a dungeon, right? Running low on rations, would you cook monsters that you killed? Even though it's like, you know, something that's
only
probably never crossed your mind.
Kind.
Even though, so you're a psychopath. Like, we need to have conversations.
All right, not going to be in Brad's party.
Ever. I mean, you might survive. Brad was like your... I mean, a lot of people may get maimed or whatever, but he'd have like a good healer, right? Brad thought he's not that guy.
Would you be a healer, Brad? What would your role be?
Yeah, what would you be?
Exactly what I would be.
You'd be like a dark mage. Be like a warlock.
I would
warlock.
Be a necromancer. I would wait for you to die and then
fucking
bring you back
hell.
As a...
Dude, what are you talking about? You brought back.
What do you mean? I did my job.
A necromancer is just a late healer. That's all.
Nothing hurts. I know. Resurrection spell.
Thought of it that way. Never thought of it that way.
You're doing great, buddy. I just... I think the biggest draw for me in this is like the details. I usually like when a lot of anime, like, you know, sometimes they go into like you know, longed like monologues and stuff like that, but it's never like relevant to what's happening. It's like relevant to a fight. It's like they're talking, planning, and then explaining like how the dungeon works and stuff like that. And Senshi does it as he's like, you know, explaining how to cut and grill and fillet and all that stuff like that. Like all of it makes sense, you know? And then like it actually pays off the more you know. So like Lyos may be like this really, you know, encyclopedia, you know, but it's like everything he says actually works and makes sense in like the dungeon and how quickly they learn. It's really funny that Chilchuck, who fucking hates all the like random knowledge, starts to spout it off and starts to know it too. So like everyone's affected by hit by Lyos just being there. That's like my favorite part of this. Is yeah, once they start getting committed to it, Lyos
I do
is
not
like,
need a random
fact.
Random fact.
Like literally in the like with the dragons, like, did you guys know, fun fact, red dragon put up to 60 kilometers. I'm like, bro,
who cares?
We're about to get eaten. I just love that, dude. And also, like, Brad, you said like what you thought was a baby red dragon. Was it because how it wobbled around, how goofy it looked? He was like, that was my favorite part, how wobbly it was. He's like, how uncoordinated they were and stuff like that.
Did it have wings?
Mm-mm. No, so that's the interesting thing.
It's not a dragon.
I don't know. Maybe you might be right. Oh, it's interesting. Like Drake. When they start introducing other monsters, they really go into good detail. That's one of the things I really like. Is that
fun fact about dragons?
Go ahead.
Scientifically speaking,
dragons have four legs and two wings. Drakes have four legs, no wings. A wyvern has two legs and wings. A worm has no legs and wings.
I knew two of the four things.
I knew about those. Yeah. All right, thank you, Brad.
Think about the worm in particular. I didn't know that one.
Oh man, yeah, no, it's just the details that you know come up from this.
They explain things that are just kind of common knowledge in other like, fantasy, you know, like healing, right? They say, oh, healing's actually not just a thing that happens. There's a consequence to it.
Yeah. Which is interesting. Which is interesting because, like, you know, when Marcel pissed off the Undine, tried to blow it up, took like a lot of damage. Obviously, tried to like you know heal herself, and then ran out of mana. I was like, there's good details like with it. There's actual consequences. Like, it's not just one of those anime you see like someone just get randomly healed. Like in most isekai, they're like, all right, you're good, bro. It's like, I feel great. It's like, dude, there's got to be like some
drink a potion.
Like
what's the realism here?
Pop a potion here. That's the interesting part is that like you know, especially when you start getting like deeper into the manga and like the next episode, I promise you, Brad's probably gonna be like, "Why the fuck? What the fuck just happened?" And that's going to continue to happen.
My guess is that in a fit of rage, Lyos is going to try to eat the dragon for eating his sister, and he's gonna get a stomach ache.
He's gonna be done. My tummy hurts.
Done in the dungeon.
done in the dungeon.
Not delicious.
It's just it's like the name throws you off, like delicious and dungeon, right? The thing is, like all of what's happening here, which you learn early, is actually relevant throughout the entire thing. And like you learn that Lyos, like I said, it's probably someone you would not normally follow to do anything. Is actually super useful. And while his party was like, what the fuck's wrong with this dude? Like, he just likes food, man. He thinks that food is going to bring everyone together. And then he ends up with a party. He ends up with a party that like feels the same way. It's really interesting watching every character grow. Especially when I was reading the manga, I was like, there's actual like legitimate growth. Like there's nothing, in my opinion, that's kind of wasted. Cause you know, when you have like limited series, the thing you have to nail is, you know, you have to nail growth. Characters can't stay stagnant. You know, you have to continuously push the plot. And I think that like Chainsaw Man's doing it, you know, Delicious in Dungeon does it, Freyrin does it. It's one of those things where it's like, it's consistently good. And I just like, I'm wondering if the eventual score overall for the series is going to go up because I think people kind of saw the potential in episode 11 and went, holy shit.
Yeah.
legit.
Yeah, I think if they just let it ride a little bit, I could see it going up for sure.
Yeah, and I wonder if that's going to remain, you know, because Trigger is a very good studio. They're great. But I wonder if, like, if they're going to maintain that same consistency, because the shit that they were pulling off in episode 11 was, like, movie-level quality stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, when they showed, like, Senshi, like, pulling up the sword, throwing the sword, you get, like, a quick flash to, like, Kensuke's eyes, like, or whatever his tendrils, like, lifting up, and then fucking it clipping off the foot of Laios to catch it. I was like, that's fantastic, right?
Mm-hmm. I had to watch it again.
Yeah, I love that shit.
I like when he stood on the pot and
Marcel. He's like, you're gonna use explosive magic. You're gonna fire me up there. She's like, what? He's like, yeah.
I have an idea.
You heard me.
I have an idea. It may not look like a good one, but it might work out. I love the fact that, like, you know, the dragon gets hit in the eye. It's like all that, like, the how big the droplets of blood were. That was a really cool detail. I was like, oh my god. And, like, they don't skimp out on the gore. Like, when enemies are getting killed, it's like, Jesus Christ, that's...
Bro, when they carved out the dragon, I was like, ugh.
Yeah. I like the fact that the mithril knife could cut through all that. That was pretty impressive. Like, it looked like... I know he's probably exerting more effort, right? But it looked like he was just like, eh.
Like a butter knife.
And I was like, holy shit, dude. Like, Senshi, you've been holding out on us, man. Like, what's what's going on, brother? You just get to learn more about the characters, the world, how stuff works, and I think it's going to be pretty eye-opening. And, like, surprisingly... they don't botch it, you know. I think that's, like, the best thing. If, like, you're someone who read the manga, like, you'll know that they didn't botch this, which is really shocking, because when they get into, like, the big revelations in this, dude, it's one of those things where I'm like, I don't know how they're gonna kind of twist all this and bring it all together, but they do it perfectly. And so that's
I'm interested to see how it's gonna go, because I haven't read it. So I'm really interested to see.
Yeah, I'm just, you know, it like became one of my most anticipated, because I was curious to see, like, how Trigger was going to animate it, because it's very detailed. And surprisingly, like, almost everything they do is really detailed, you know, from, like, the way the characters animate on certain areas and stuff like that. Like, when Laios, who is it, Chilchuck, ran into the, what were they? Were they sirens and stuff?
And
Laios starts singing, like, super loud.
Dude, that shit was so funny. I forgot about that part. I loved that part, because I was like, damn, that's me.
Yeah,
that's me trying to sing.
So good. And he's like, oh, they let me finish. It's like, dude.
It's like, dude.
Fighting the Kraken, right? That was freaking, like, all that stuff is really well done. Like, I'm shocked by the kind of commitment to animation. Like, recently we've seen a number of anime, like, crush it.
Yes.
I don't know if you guys have caught up on Frieren. There's an episode.
I need to.
Episode 26 is called The Height of Magic. And it might feature, like, some legit on par with, like, One Punch Man when he fought, like, the final enemy. You remember that, Brad? I think you watched it, right? When we fight the final guy, I think final episode. Yeah. Like, damn, they pull some crazy shit, and I was like, wait a second.
No, what's going on?
I know Madhouse is, like, great, because most of the time, like, there's just, like, really, they're subtle with, like, the animations in Frieren, but man. And then here with, like, Trigger, it's like they flex a lot when they, like, they started cooking and started, like, you know, cutting through, like, certain monsters and stuff. And I was like, dude, we're getting it. Is there anything you're curious about, Brad, in terms of, like, the world itself? And delicious in dungeon.
Dun dun.
Those damn elves that
in the world. Well, I mean, I'm sure the, like, the dungeon stuff will explain. So I mean, yeah, it's just a magical charm or spell or whatever. So I don't think so. There's, I will say the, like, elves and dwarves, you know, fighting. That's a pretty typical
fantasy thing.
So I mean, that's kind of par for the course.
It's kind of weird that the guy who's a gnome is really tall, right? Like, they usually aren't gnomes, like, very tiny.
They're typically
what, knee height?
As small as the plants in my front garden. So
how big is his fucking garden? Is dude?
Almost 8 foot. So
yeah. Oh jeez.
Hello.
Nothing you're curious about? You're just, like, right, just cool with the ride?
Well, because, you know, Alan's dead, so I mean, I just assume that's the end of the story. that everyone's just.
I'm telling you, bro, they have to do that in every fucking anime. So every it's just like in JJK when Yuji got killed, rips his own heart out, and they're like, "Hey, happy music," and everybody starts dancing and shit. And the same thing happened. The same thing when he's like holding Fallon's skull. It's like Fallon, and it's like the dark music, and then it cuts off, and it's like happy music. I'm like,
dude, I was so upset. My mouth was open. I was like, I can't believe this.
A lot of people were shocked because I think
I hope he uses her skull as like a medallion for a
necklace or something. Make a necklace out of it. Just his new helmet.
Just hardcore. It's what I'm talking about. Don't talk to me, mom. Dyes his hair black.
It's my god.
She's always with me.
Ass sent you. Let me get some beard locks, dude, and put over my eyes. Like
that. Oh my god!
Don't talk to me. Did you guys know? What about you, Chibi? Is there anything you're curious about, like where the story goes, or anything like you've seen in the world that you're curious about? Any character?
I mean, it's kind of like what Brad was saying. I'm curious more so about like the dungeon itself, mm-hmm. but like I know that'll come with time. I'm assuming.
Yeah.
And
all things will be answered.
I kind of know the answer to this one, but just for argument's sake and discussion's sake, I'm kind of curious as to where they're going to go plot-wise after discovering Fallon. Like, what's the next big, plot point?
Because the whole thing of this was
Dragon's trying to Dogma find too.
Her and save her. Like, is all hope lost? Are we moving on to, redemption arc where we're trying to heal and... continue on with our story.
Everybody just gets kumbaya hugging and stuff like that. We do Beyond the Journey, so it's Frieren.
It
shoots to the overworld and it shows Frieren just walking around with a staff.
Listen, I like to have optimism, even though again I kind of know what is going to transpire.
I knew you'd be curious once it ended on that cliffhanger. I knew it.
I bet.
Well, it was an accident. I read the comment. And someone said something, and I said, "Are you fucking serious?"
Yeah,
I was so mad. I was no.
It was
so,
never alive to begin with,
and it made me not want to read it honestly or keep watching. I'm not gonna lie,
dead, bro. We're the sixth
actually
sense.
In a simulation.
This is SAO. That would be funny. In the next episode, he's like, just takes off his goggles. Well, that was shocking.
that was absolutely bonkers.
Gets off the game.
He was actually eating the brains of a monster, and this is just all the memories of that.
Oh, dude, that'd be terrifying. What is that from? I've seen that in a couple of things where like they eat the monster's like brain or something, and they absorb the memories.
So in Divinity Original Sin 2, that's it's a vampire thing.
Yes,
you eat the brains and you get the memory.
Yum. Yeah, no, I think for the most part, I mean. Where it goes, honestly, is like I think that the bigger overall mystery is the dungeon itself, mm-hmm. right? They've reached a level I don't think they've ever reached before, right? Because it's a fallen kingdom, essentially. There's like the elves built this. Why do they abandon mm-hmm. it? Why do they sell it?
What level are they on technically? I forgot.
Five, I think they said.
Five.
I think they said five because the orcs were there. Was it the orcs or the wargs, Brad? I can't remember what they said.
It was orcs.
It was orcs, yeah.
Because the gnome guy was like, they've pretty much picked levels 1-3 clean.
That was like interesting because like they, the gnome, when he had the conversation with, I can't remember what the guy's name is, but that they have the conversation, they're discussing like, the elves arriving and stuff like that. And, him writing the letter to like delay them and stuff like that. I was like, why would you do that? Why does this matter? What is the dungeon ultimately like hiding that type of stuff? Right. That's why, like, when I went back, I was like, oh my god, yeah, I totally forgot about all this stuff. Because it's been like a year, I was like, oh, mm-hmm. this shit's.
When did the, sorry to cut you off, when did the manga come out?
I think it was like 2017, something like that.
Oh, okay. So, relatively new.
Yeah. Well, like, once again, it's one of those manga that, like, was under 100 chapters.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people.
Wait, is it finished?
97. Yeah,
97 chapters.
Oh. Yeah. Damn. Okay.
A lot of people were wondering, like, I'm telling you, like, I love the ending too. The ending makes so much fucking sense. Like if you probably like, if I would probably, tell anyone, don't go into the comments.
I'm gonna read it.
Don't go into the comments of anything, primarily because if you do, people will spoil like how the actual dungeon is, like the actual dynamics of it. And it gets fucking twisted.
Fallon was all of us.
Fallon was all of us. Fallon was, that's how they ended. It's like, you know, maybe it was the Fallon we made along the way.
Just, all the Fallons we made.
And just dip, you know. But no, I mean, there's the thing that I was telling Brad is that I love the fact that there's different fantasy elements that I really feel like are unique to this show. Mm-hmm. That I think, you know, we've seen enough, like, the way, like, a dragon operates or how, like, certain monsters operate. But, like, with Senshi there, Senshi will tell you, like, this is how it works. And then if he doesn't know, Lyos kind of comes in and will tell you, like, no, this is how, you know, this is how they attack. This is how, like, they move around. You know, here are their weak spots. And, the ability to craft their own fantasy world, that's what I'm saying. Like, it was slow for on purpose because it wanted to kind of, you know, at least teach you, you know, how this world operates in comparison to others. Because most isekais are like, I'm overpowered. I know a lot of magic. I can do stuff with, like, incantations. You know,
good.
We haven't, that's, you know, fun. We've seen, like, basic magic, right? We just haven't seen, like, you know, what would dark magic look like? What would blood magic look like? That type of stuff. Like, how is it represented here? Because it has to come out, right? They found themselves in, like, several situations where you're like, you know, I think when she was fighting with the Undine, it really felt like she was going to do something desperate. You know what I mean? Because she's not, it's clear, like, there's got to be something curious about the fact that, like, you have this mage, super talented, and it's not proficient in healing magic in the slightest. At all. We saw Chilchuck get up and pretty much straight curse, bro. Motherfucker. As he's get up grabbing his head. And then Senshi's like, so, like, he seems to be in more pain now than he was before. That's what fast healing does. I'm like, Jesus. So there's different. Yeah. Oh, good.
I was sad. Also, this goes back to the detail thing. I'm also curious about the ecosystem. Because they describe, like, how, you know, adventurers kill the monsters feed other monsters. If there are no adventurers, then they overrun the town, so they hire more adventurers to kill it. Now, my question is if they've wiped out the first three floors of the dungeon, what's feeding the fourth and fifth level of the dungeon, and why the adventurers aren't doing more kill everything all the time, right? Like group together as a full guild and just wipe everything out instead of.
That's a good point. I mean, I think because of the dangers. Yeah. Because I think unlike a lot of, you know, because usually when you have, like, fancy anime, like I said, there's, like, some really overpowered characters. There's really no one like that here, right? I think everyone has, like, a.
Did you see Laos's sword?
You see Kensuke?
Kids
guy. I think there's, like, legit weaknesses, like, with every monster. And I think a lot of adventurers probably go in for, like, the treasure and stuff like that. And, you know, it's like the treasure bugs. That was hilarious. And Senshi's like, you can't eat these. And, like, they just throw it. It's like, why can't we eat those? Like, oh, you can't eat treasure. He just stares at him. I just think that's, like, something that's really interesting is that you haven't seen, like, a really OP character. Right, mm-hmm. Like everyone's on a
everyone
level
feels balanced. Practically.
Right.
I don't know.
Like, who's the OP character? Is it Senshi?
Senshi.
I mean, obviously. His knowledge-wise,
yeah.
Like, he's like, oh, you're a living thing. We're going to eat you. And he just knows how to eat you.
Let me eat.
He's
these,
like, already know.
And how to make it tasty.
Yeah. Let me eat these here mushrooms. You just cut their feet off.
Oh my god, dude! That I remember the first episode. I was like, holy shit.
Yeah,
he's like, you cut them long ways.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I'm telling you, man. Like the world building is so well done here that you dungeon call if someone would have said details in dungeon, you call it detailed in dungeon. I'd be like, hell yeah, it is, dude. Holy shit, there's
you can look delicious in dungeon.
You can learn and like detailed. The thing is like there's, you know, unlike, you know, most anime where it's like we've roamed the dungeon in like an hour to reach like level 18 or something. It's like, dude, it took us fucking a week to get to level 5.
Yeah.
And on top of that, like
slow.
And on top of that, he was also saying shit like, you know, Chilchuck was like, look, if we had to navigate any other way, it would have taken us like 2 weeks. But they tried to get them there as quickly as possible. He was like navigating traps. And then like they actually gave like one of my favorite things was like when Chilchuck was describing like traps and stuff like that, where he was like, you know, this is how like certain mechanisms work, this is how like they're being fed into. I'm like, dude, I have not seen many shows or any medium rather that actually goes into that type of detail about what this character like actually knows. So the fact that every character is really knowledgeable and is willing to impart that knowledge, I think it's just fascinating. I just think that this like it really took me by surprise with how detailed this was, because it was I mean, there's a lot of details in the manga, and sometimes that shit doesn't translate over. You know that, Chibi. Like, sometimes you're like, are we skipping out on stuff? But here it's like, things are relevant. And it's not like, you know, one of the things I fucking hate the most is the one trope I think they've kind of avoided a lot is like the inner monologues about certain things.
Yeah.
While things are happening. It's like Laos only has that like when he's like legitimately in fucking danger.
Which makes sense. Like that one, I feel like I wouldn't complain about when they're like about to die or like, you know, in danger. Like, of course you're going to have an inner monologue. Like, what the fuck is going on?
But also I see Laos as like, I see like their party as relatable. Right, I really do. I see Laos as like that one guy. You're just like, dude, like he's panicking, but as he's panicking, he's imparting knowledge.
he's the fearless leader.
I don't know. There's fear, mostly of him being going starving. Dude, when they're fighting the living armor, he's like, "What's in that?" It's like, you think we can eat it? It's like, dude, why would you even assume that when everyone's getting attacked?
It's right like, now? Sir, have you eaten a day in your life?
I mean, granted, they do make like a sorbet out of ghosts.
That was so good, dude. I love that so much. Oh, it's sweet.
I'm pretty
it
sure they
good.
Could find. I'm sure they could find something out of the living.
The fact that they're like, you got holy water, and he just starts like mixing everything in the air. Like, what are you doing? He's like, don't worry. And dude, once again, instead of throwing the holy water onto the ghosts, they just pass through, and they fucking get affected that way. I thought that's a fantastic detail. Mm-hmm. Also, if you didn't notice, when like before Marcille like shot Laios forward into the Red Dragon, he taped his hand with Kensuke. So Kensuke couldn't escape. No. And also he wouldn't drop his sword when he grabbed onto the dragon. That shit, I was like, oh shit, that's a great detail. Mm-hmm. So it's just one of those anime that really took me by surprise. And I really wanted Jack to talk about it too, because I knew Jack would like this one.
Too bad.
Yeah. Unfortunate, bro.
He flying we'll, somewhere, boys.
We'll get his opinion next time.
Or not. We won't.
Please don't say that. Or we won't.
Ungoddamn fortunate. Okay. So
I'm pretty sure he was something like something, something. She wasn't pretty enough. Something, something. That food looked good. Something, something. Going to bed now.
Fuck,
he cooked food and like I want a cookbook. Thank you, Jack. All right then.
I mean, but I too would like a cookbook.
They didn't make lumpia, so it's not worth watching.
I don't get it. Yeah, anime.
Yeah, anime. Little lumpia out.
It actually exists fucking the wrong way anyway.
Sorry.
All right, so. That, I think, like, you know, it's surprising we've all agreed that we all like it, which Brad liked it. That was my win. My win is to get Brad to like an anime, right? We got Mashal. We got, you know, Delicious in Dungeon. I wanted to do Konosuba, but I was like, Konosuba is a bit too etchy at times. It's very funny, but it's like,
I fucking started it. I was like 4 episodes in, and I was like, what in the fan service is this?
You have to watch the dub.
I know.
The dub is so good, dude. And like the best part about it is that they really had fun, especially season 2, like where they do a couple things where like, as characters are talking, they'll like interrupt them while they're like monologuing or having dialogue and shit like that. Like, that's me. That's my name. Like, what is like, yep, this is gonna happen? They're all like very self-aware stuff. It's very funny. Okay. But
I'll give it up.
I mentioned this was last week, I think. I mentioned to two coworkers. I was like, yeah, we're supposed to be watching this anime called Yakisoba. They're like, what? I was like, yeah, it was like Yakisoba or something, like some type of noodles. And then one guy was like, you mean
Konosuba?
I was like, yeah, that sounds close enough. And he goes, all right, that's a weird one. I'm curious. I don't know if you know what that's about, but you don't want to know.
It's very funny. And there's like a bunch of, it's just like so well done in like certain like comedic like takes and stuff like that. I really like it. But yeah, Delicious in Dungeon. I was like, Brad would like this. I think everyone would. So being 2-for-2 feels good, right? Not having someone choose Black Clover. Me watching like, can't do it. Oh, Asa screaming again. Jumps. What will I fucking do? What will I do with Asa screaming for the next 30 fucking minutes of the show?
A lot.
So, Chibi, what are we watching next? What do you got for me?
I was thinking, because I am really enjoying right now Shangri-La Frontier.
Yep.
I'd say, Brad, have you even heard of that?
You will really it? Like
yeah, it's Shangri-La the Birdhead.
Yeah, the Birdhead.
Yeah, well, have you watched
it? No, if you tell Brad right now, like I told Brad, I was like, Brad, yeah, it's a helmet. He's like, nope, it's his head.
Brad, it's actually canon. I really think Brad would like it. That's why I'm kind of like pivoting towards this more than making you guys watch Haikyuu. So I want to do.
If we watch Haikyuu, if we watch Haikyuu, like it's got to be.
Jack's not invited.
Jack won't show up, dude. He'll find a way to get out of it. But if we watch Haikyuu, it's got to be. I think 12 episodes would be like.
No, I know. I wouldn't watch make you guys watch fucking 5 seasons of it. I don't know. It's like it's a lot.
Shangri-La Frontier is 22 episodes currently.
But I don't want to make you watch all 22. Well,
too bad. I'm watching all 22 right now.
He would.
I know you won't.
No. I'm telling you, he's gonna really like.
Probably I think he will episodes. Like this one a lot.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed it. I thought it was a meme too. I was like, what is this bird head? The opening is one of my favorite openings. The characters are hilarious. I feel like it's so relatable, especially as a gamer. Like, yeah. I don't know. I think it's a better SAO.
It's no, that a lot of people have said that too.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, I think it's better developed than SAO. And like, it doesn't have any, this is not,
it's not weird. It's not etchy. You know?
I don't want to fuck it up, but like, you know, SAO had that problem. Where it was too self-serious at times.
Yeah. This one's just funny.
Shangri-La is just like, fun time with a very
come on Rabbitooza, bro. That's
and he's not like the and the main character is not like super overpowered per se, like in the world. He's just fucking super skilled, like a
he's a lot of knowledge that he brings in from other games, and also he's Mashal. So determined.
Yeah, man, dope. By the way, watch the rest of fucking Mashal, because holy shit,
I need to.
That whole arc, season 2, was fantastic.
Is it?
My goodness, right. That was. There are some really Mashal funny...
becomes Smashal.
No, essentially, yeah, he starts beating the shit out of people.
Oh my god!
In like the best way, it's so good. I thought there, and it also features like one of the best OPs this year. Which, by the way,
is really good.
Dungeon, Delicious in Dungeon. I love its OP. I don't skip OP's that shit. Pretty good. I don't skip
OP.
That. Yeah, opening credits. The song. I don't skip it. That shit is fantastic.
Overture.
Stop it. Stop it.
Or I'll put it in the chat. So
Shangri-La. And then, it's Brad then. Brad's after that, right? I'll be curious.
Because Jack said.
Jack had 3 chances. So we're skipping over. He gets to get skipped over because he fucked that up. Yeah, my next one will probably be Undead Murder Farce, which was it's 12 episodes long. Crunchyroll. Highly rated last season. Fantastic show. Really smart. Really fun. And surprisingly gory. There's like some scenes where I was like, holy shit. Like y'all were joking around. Why did that person get torn to ribbons? What was happening? So.
I'm going to pick Solo Leveling.
Ooh. I like it.
I have the worst leveling. Opinion on that one, man. I
like, cannot believe you it. You still you, don't like it?
You know what it is? You know what it is, honestly? I think what? Because...
you have no
taste. When did the manhwa come out? It was a couple years ago, right? A
long time ago, yeah.
I think because it took so long to get adapted.
You think?
It was like 3 years, right? Didn't they say didn't they say it was in development for a couple years and stuff? Dude, like
I have no idea. Honestly.
I think in that time, there have been so many kind of overpowered protagonist anime that even though I love the animation in it, dude, I find it just not interesting in the slightest.
Oh, I love it.
The characters are fantastic. Man. I'm being honest. Like, I really think like the level of like detail and the fight. But dude, it's not like I keep saying this, it's not interesting if a character is not challenged. Right? If a protagonist is not challenged, like
I could debate this with you, but
it's just hard for me to kind of get invested in this character when they're just the most powerful character and it feels like no one's really challenging him at the time. And I know that's early.
Let it cook.
I do. It's really hard because I've watched every episode. And I'm just like,
ah. But the thing is, he started off
the
worst hunter.
But what I've told you is like, there have been so many anime like that. There have been so all many right, adaptations.
I guess we won't do Solo Leveling. No. We've already talked about it for way too long now.
Relax.
I would like Jack's opinion on it.
Oh, Jack will love it. He'd be like, oh.
And I think we need to let a couple more episodes come out so he can change his mind. Because I think once
it takes a lot. I'm telling you. I'm very stubborn about certain things.
I can fucking tell.
I mean, it's generally what it is. She was like, I have like an issue if like I've seen similar.
I mean, I get it. I guess because I read it when it first came out.
I've talked to people who are super hyped up to get the adaptation. But like by the time I got onto Solo Leveling, I think I was just like past that point. That was the thing.
I mean, like, again, I get it because I don't watch a lot of shows like this. You know, I trash it like this. So this was the first one that I actually like.
That's because everyone has like a six pack in it. You know what I'm saying? Like everyone's just like muscular and shit like that.
Me too.
Me too. He said.
I'm sorry. I couldn't tell what you were doing.
Sorry.
I was going to say, you turned up your
light.
It's kind of sussy, bro.
But I do want to talk like briefly before we get off this, like how the season has gone. Like this, it's been pretty good, honestly. I think Solo Leveling, obviously. But Frieren is, man, this whole second 12, the last 12 episodes have been fantastic. A lot of people have been talking about it. So Apothecary Diaries too.
I was going to say Apothecary Diaries has been going
off. It's a fantastic show.
I think they've done amazing the last couple like seasons with anime in general. I feel like
we're
seeing a lot of diversity.
We're getting peak adaptations. A lot of people wanted to see Shangri-La Frontier. They really did. Mm-hmm. Like people were talking about it, and I remember people hyping up and being like, "Don't watch SAO, bro. Watch this." I'm like, "Yeah, okay." I agree. And I was like, "Holy shit, this is really good." Because right.
Sweet first episode.
Yeah, I think Sword Art Online was like, it was like, I think its problem was like it was nerdy, right? But it was also like melodramatic.
Yeah.
And then it was so serious, and you're like, "It's a fucking game. Why is everyone dying in this game? Why?"
Yeah.
And then it was Shangri-La Frontier. He's like, "Dude, I like trash games, and I'm also big into this one." I'm like, holy shit, this guy's a psychopath.
I love him though.
MMO stuff, right? I just think this has been a really good, you know, season. And then there's a couple things coming out, but yeah, I'll give Solo Leveling a chance. I don't know how much
Did you read it all? Mm-mm. Or you didn't read it at all?
I didn't read anything like relating to like manhwa. Because also here's annoying about
you read the cover and he was like, nope.
It's because I think like the way I've been kind of disappointed with like how certain adaptations have gone. Like,
I mean, I hate it because Tower of God, I liked the beginning and then I don't know, it just dropped for me. Same thing with the fighting one.
Oh, High School something, King of High School or something like that. There's something. There's another one that's going to be adapted eventually. It's like a class something, class A3 or some shit. Like it's a fighting one, but like the thing about I've learned about manhwa is like one, the animation, the styles tend to kind of blend into one another. And then two, they're so fucking edgy sometimes that I'm like, come on, man. You know, like let's get some humor into it. We don't have to be so goddamn serious.
Yeah. You might not like Solo Leveling. There's not a lot of humor.
No, I know. I've seen it. Like I'm just saying,
I'm going to hate it, but I'm still going to watch it.
I don't know. It's good for debate.
You know what I mean?
I can't explain why I resonate with it so much. Like I don't know. I love it.
Okay. All right.
I don't know.
Next Pixel Light Thoughts episode, Brad. I want to talk to Brad about doing this one. I don't know because Dragon's Dogma 2 comes out on Friday. Brad's getting it. I'm playing it. Chibi, I don't, you might like it. I don't know. I don't know if you've ever even heard of that series. I mean, me and Brad have concerns because like, people are trying to play it off as like this mainstream game. Like you might feel left out. You might get some FOMO because apparently previews for the game are talking about like how it's like Elden Ring, like a generational type title. Right. But here's the thing. The first Dragon's Dogma was fantastic. It was not a mainstream title in the slightest. And so me and Brad had a conversation about this. We're like, I don't know if people are going to like really like this game because I know like, reviewers are gonna love it, like people who critique things naturally. And me and Brad are probably gonna love it because, like, I don't know if you've seen the detailed character creator. They created people out of Dungeon Meshi on it. Like someone actually created Senshi and Lios in them.
Oh shit!
It was fantastic. No, it's very detailed. Someone created like Obama. I saw like a bunch of crazy ones, dude. Okay. But
Perfect Squidward.
Perfect Squidward. Yo, holy shit! Holy shit! No. Chibi, I don't know how to put in that much work, dude. I'm just going to be like, generic.
Short person, brown hair, glasses. What? Come on.
That's a lot of white guy. Get in there.
Mustache.
Mustache. Tall. But yeah, no, it's a weighty, it's kind of like a really realistic, grounded, weighty type game. You know what I'm saying? Okay. Like there's like actual weight behind the actions, yeah, and stuff. Yeah, yeah. I just don't know how people are going to react to that.
Interesting. I'll look at the trailer.
But yeah, I think me and Brad are probably gonna do like a podcast on that.
Okay.
Chibi, last question. Have you played Helldivers 2?
So I haven't yet, but I really think it'd be something I'd like. Well, my issue is I've been playing Persona. I haven't beaten it
yet. Traitor. That's a traitor.
Bro, listen, I'm poor, okay? So my idea is I need to finish Persona first to get my money's worth, and then see if I have enough money to buy it, Brad. Not everyone has...
Okay, you're going to get mad at me. Chibi, do you have Game Pass?
Is it free on Game Pass?
Yeah. Okay. It's on... Persona 3 is on Game Pass.
Oh, Persona 3. I was like...
No, not Helldivers. Persona 3 Remake's on Game Pass. And I'm going to tell you this, and you're probably going to get really mad. The expansion pass for Persona 3 is like $30-ish. So that way you get Episode Aegis, and then I think...
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then the other eventual DLC. On Game Pass, it's free. You get the expansion as long as you play it on Game Pass, which is why I played it on Game Pass.
Noted.
Yeah, so just heads she up. Did. Listen, if you want me to gift you Helldivers 2, because no. me and Brad have dragged people.
Well, if it's on Game Pass, why? It's fine.
No, it's not. Mm-hmm. No, Helldivers 2 is not on Game Pass.
Oh, that's what I thought.
Persona 3 is on Game Pass.
Oh, yeah. I knew that. They like, met Helldivers. I was like, what?
Me and Brad have dragged people to like level 20. We helped Jack out. We helped our buddy Will. Brandon, mm-hmm. we're currently working with.
Oh man.
Yeah.
Chris?
Yeah. So I mean, you want some help with people who have like almost 80 hours in the game? I have 80 hours. Like, let me know.
Like 70.
10-4.
And it'd be a good
game. I definitely
game.
Want to play it. Like it looks like something I would like.
It'd be a
honestly.
Good game to play together.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. You know, to make
When's your birthday?
When do you think my birthday?
You look like a
June?
September?
Ken was closer.
May?
July?
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I can see that.
How dare your birthday month Sagittarius. Be next to mine? Sagittarius.
I'm a Cancer!
Yeah, you are.
Yeah, you are. I didn't do it. I didn't do it.
she said it. I just agreed.
Oh, Lord.
Thank you guys for coming to Down the Rabbit Hole.
Bye!
What is she? She said I'm and then walked away.
She said she's a Cancer.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I was just gonna give her a birthday present, my bad.
I know, cheers. You know? Sheesh. All right. So that is the Down the Rabbit Hole podcast. I'm Ken. She being Brad.
I'm Chibi.
Yeah, it's Chibi. And you know, next Pixelate Thoughts episode, Dragon's Dogma 2. Next episode for Down the Rabbit Hole is going to be Shangri-La. Frontier. Yes! And Jack will probably be here so Brad can get my talking to her.
Stern talking to.
Thanks, everybody.